comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on the planet. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. We have a very special event coming up when we open up our brand new members community. Now, we have a members area already, and I'll tell you what, it knocks the socks off of just about anything else out there on the net. But the best is going to get better. And we're going to open up a new members community very soon. We're getting very close to doing that. When we do, I'm going to be doing the sequel to the Gods in the Garden seminar. I'll be doing that in the members area. Last time when we did Gods in the Garden, three or four years ago, we sold tickets to that. And you had to have a ticket in order to be able to watch. Well, there are no tickets to buy, but you have to be a member. So if you're part of our members community by then, you will get to watch it live. And we will not be putting this on a DVD and making it available for sale, okay? So you have to be part of the members area. If you're not joined today, it's only $6.95 a month. Once we move into our new digs, though, it will go up to $7.50 a month. And you will still be getting the best deal on the Internet. There was a 7.0 earthquake today in central Peru. No injuries were reported and no serious damage reported. But this is pretty much what we were told was coming by Marshall Masters, and also Brooks Agnew alluded to it. So kind of interesting to watch it happen. NASA has a humanoid robot. Did you know that? You've heard me talk about it. It's on the International Space Station now. And by humanoid, I mean it's got two arms, two legs, torso, it's humanoid. And they're powering it up, activating all of its systems right now. Next week, they are going to send up instructions for Robonaut. That's what they call it, Robonaut. Robonaut, Robonaut. So they're going to send up instructions for Robonaut to begin to move around and do some simple work. It's pretty interesting. We're living in Star Trek times, aren't we? I mean, we really are. And it's just going to be more and more and more of that as time goes on. My guest tonight is Stephen Bassett. Stephen will be joining us on the other side of this break. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning where he is. He's in the UK. But he has graciously agreed to be up at this ungodly hour in the UK to be with us live here on the air tonight. We're going to be talking about something pretty cool called World Disclosure Day. And we'll be back right after this. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And as I said at the top of the show, my guest this evening is Stephen Bassett. Stephen has been with us many times over the years, and he is someone that not only our audience is familiar with, but anybody in the genre of UFOs, extraterrestrials, etc., is familiar with Stephen Bassett. And as I also said, he is joining us from the UK via Skype tonight, and stayed up, or I don't know if he stayed up or got up, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning over there. Stephen, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Well, I've got him on Skype, but we're not getting his audio. So I don't know. Stephen, you might need to click to turn your audio on. Turn your mic on. Well, that's interesting. Let's see. We can. I could twirl my pen. It's fun. It's fun. Stephen, are you there? Okay, let's try again. Are you there, Stephen?
Here, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. This, you know, Skype is wonderful. It really is, as a concept. And it does enable these long, long distance calls like this. But it gets a little quirky sometimes. I don't know what the problem is.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy, but we can hear you.
No, but Skype is fantastic, but it's not perfect. And we, you know, like you said, people start getting used to that.
Stephen, we're glad to have you back on the show. And I've already told people that you are putting together this thing called World Disclosure Day. And, in fact, we have your graphic up on the website. And, you know, it looks interesting and it sounds interesting. And I do want to get into that. But I first have to ask you, what are you doing over in the UK right now?
Kevin, I came over to, for several reasons. I came over, one, to speak at Leeds Exopolitics Conference. That was on the 7th of October, of August. It's like the third one that they've held. Exopolitics is growing very rapidly in the United Kingdom. There's a lot of interest in it. There's an excellent website, Exopolitics, exopoliticsworld.uk. Run by David Griffin, and Anthony Beckett is behind the Exopolitics Leeds Conference. I'm also here to do some research on a book that I need to get done and hopefully out by the end of the year, first of next year. And I'm meeting with some researchers and activists, making some contacts. I'm based in London right now. We'll be through September 13th. One of the key things I'm looking to do is to try to connect with a couple of rock stars here. One is named Robbie Williams, and the other is Peter Andre. These are pretty well-known, very successful rock stars here that have shown public interest in this issue. And it would be wonderful to get together with them and talk about the state of affairs with respect to disclosure. So we'll see what happens there. But it's good to get away a little bit, and it's kind of peaceful and quiet here in north suburb of London, and I'm hoping to get some work done.
Okay. You know, I in a way, I sort of envy you being able to be over there, and it shouldn't, I'm really not sure. I don't think their football season has started yet, but we're not far from it if it hasn't started. Leeds, of course, has a team that they are really, people in that area are just absolutely wild about. And it would be great. I don't know if you take in soccer, but I used to not like it, and then I lived overseas where that was the only kind of football there was for quite a while. That's the only thing I could get on any kind of satellite TV, and I fell in love with it. So, and yes, I have watched Leeds play.
Well, I watch some soccer on TV here.
Yeah. Okay. Your campaign over the years, and I'm saying this in a positive way now, sort of your mantra has been, let's bring an end to the truth embargo. What does that mean? When you say, let's bring an end to the truth embargo, what is it, what kind of information would you envision being put out to the public if the truth embargo were ended?
Here's a way to look at this. What's happened since 1990 is that we have, a number of people, including myself, have tried to reframe this issue in such a way to make it more resolvable. And it's, in some respects, not that complicated. The core story is simply that great public awareness of the presence of extraterrestrials it started to explode in the late 1940s. These ETs might have been coming and going for thousands of years, but in terms of the larger public in the modern world, it starts to really become an issue, significant issue. Starting in certainly no later than 1947. The governments that are most relevant to this issue, which included the major powers after World War II, made the decision that this simply could not be addressed in an open fashion, and they elected to embargo any acknowledgement, formal acknowledgement of this issue, for national security reasons. They couldn't simply make it a secret, obviously, because the ETs could pretty much come and go as they please. This decision to embargo it was not illegal, which is why I have made the decision to call it a truth embargo and have now for some time, as opposed to a cover-up, a UFO cover-up, which is what it used to be called. And the question is this embargo still appropriate? And it's not. And so the truth embargo is fundamentally about nothing more than withholding the formal acknowledgement that, yes, there are extraterrestrials engaging this planet, which is a big deal. I mean, it's a big chunk of information. When you think about it, it's going to be difficult for some people to digest. And that's pretty much it. And so the disclosure movement is about ending that policy. This is a government policy, as opposed to the fundamental mission of ufology, which is to scientifically study the phenomena and come up with as much information as possible and if possible prove it to the world, to the government or whatever, and have the issue resolved that way. But it didn't work because it is a government policy not to resolve the issue, and so we have to change the policy. So it's about politics now, it's about government, it's an exopolitical matter. And it will end, the issue will, the truth embargo, when it ends, that is disclosure. And it's nothing more than the acknowledgement of the ET presence. All the rest of the information, and believe me, there's tons of that, is something that we'll deal with in the post-disclosure world when the embargo is ended. And how that will go, obviously, is we can only speculate on.
Okay, so I think a lot of people sort of have it in their minds that when we talk about ending the truth embargo, then, you know, that means that they're going to start telling us all the details. But that is not what you envision here. What you're aiming at, what you're shooting at here, is first, let's just get this policy changed, that they finally will acknowledge the ET presence. Mm-hmm. And then we'll deal with the details later, right?
Yeah. Look, let's be clear. Ultimately, the world's people need to know a great deal
about this extraterrestrial issue. But that's not going to happen until formal acknowledgement takes place. The citizen science effort has done the best it can under difficult circumstances to bring out what information it can, but it's simply not enough, and the information is very much clouded with deliberate misinformation and all of the other artifacts of an underfunded private effort. So without disclosure, we don't get the full engagement of the issue by universities, by the full breadth of the intellectual resources, by the Congress, by the media, and so forth. This issue should be studied with all of the appropriateness worthy of the magnitude of the issue. And that can't happen until the government policy ends. So, yeah, the goal is to end the truth embargo and absolutely to get information out of the government about the scope of this thing. How that will go, how fast it will happen, is going to be a matter between the government, the people, and the Fourth Estate, assuming the Fourth Estate finally decides it's going to do its job, which I think it will once the cat's out of the bag.
All right. Now, let's talk about this World Disclosure Day. What I mean, that's a catchy title. I got to tell you that that's the kind of title that for people who are interested in UFOs, that's like pouring gasoline on the bonfire. That gets a lot of rousing yes out of people.
It has.
Okay, but what is it about?
It's a good story. I was in late June. I got a call from a financial reporter, or rather, a reporter for the Financial Times of London.
Yeah.
And he was calling to talk about World UFO Day. Well, I sort of knew there was a World UFO Day, and there had been one for about 10 years. I hadn't exactly caught on, but it would come around, and the designated date was July the 2nd. I'm pretty sure that date was chosen because some think July the 2nd was the day or the evening of the Roswell crash, though it's not clear exactly when that happened. But as we interview about an hour, and about halfway through the interview, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. What we need is a disclosure day, a world disclosure day, because, you know, we've moved well past UFO. And so when I hung up the phone, I said, well, this is the kind of thing PRG does. I mean, so let's do this. But first I had to see if it had been attempted. And I did a quick check, and I did discover that last year, a blogger, activist blogger by the name of Stephen Becko, or Beckow, had tried to get it going, sort of put it out there in his blog. He designated the day August 8th, and or was it August 2nd? I'm not sure, it's one of those two. August 2nd, I think. And it didn't catch on. You know, these kind of things require a lot of persistence. They require certain resources and what have you, and it just didn't go. A couple sites picked up on it. There's nothing unusual about this. A lot of people don't know that Earth Day had about three different beginnings, right, and three different dates before it finally settled in. And so I said, no, let's make a really strong run at this. And so on July the 1st, within 2 days, I had the website up, I had the Facebook pages up, and international press releases out the door to about 2,000 media, and had launched World Disclosure Day. But in this case, the date was July the 8th. The reason for July the 8th is simple. That is the day in 1947 that General Roger Ramey, the head of the head guy at the Army Air Force Base in Fort Worth, made the decision, almost certainly, though we don't have proof of this, under orders from Truman, to reverse immediately the story of a disc being retrieved by the Roswell Army Air Force Base and change it to the Raw Wind weather balloon explanation. They held a press conference. It's a famous photograph. Most of your listeners have probably seen it. This was, in a sense, the informal beginning of the truth embargo. which was solidified with, by the Robertson panel in very late 1952, early 53. And so I set that date as kind of a way to close the circle on this. So, okay, World Disclosure Day is launched July the 8th. It's got a website, worlddisclosureday.org. And it's only going to be as important and as impacting as the amount of effort put into it, but it has some very interesting assets. First of all, the way it's structured, when you go to worlddisclosureday.org and you click on the globe, you go to the main page, what you see is, first of all, some information about it, and then you see two email forms, one for making a personal endorsement, one for making a organizational endorsement. And then under that, you will see an important box. This is under the email forms, for endorsements of note. And here we'll be putting, listing people and organizations of some note, well known, that are endorsing this this day, this concept. A day devoted to focusing on the concept of disclosure, the need for the people to get the truth, the fact that people have a right to know these things. And then under that, you can go and see the people that have so far endorsed. And then the organizational endorsements are under that and on the first page. Now, there's about 200 and some organizational endorsements at this point, and we're approaching about 4,500 personal endorsements. Now, the beauty of this is that the number of endorsements that we can gather for World Disclosure Day is only limited by the amount of promotion and exposure this gets. It's not like a petition. What we have are names of individuals around the world who are saying, yeah, I think this is important. We need a day devoted to this. I support this. And they're listed by their name, the city and state, or the city and country. In addition, many hundreds of these people are adding comments, and hundreds of these comments are being listed there on the site, and you can go see those under comments. And so it becomes a powerful representation of the public's desire to get this truth out, and it just grows and grows. It's not going anywhere.
We're talking about July the 8th, 2012, right?
No, July the 8th. It's that's the day for now. World Disclosure Day is intended to be the day each year that we will designate as the day to consider, to create events around, to focus on the need for disclosure. Now, there's one more.
Okay, we have to step away for a break, Stephen. All right, folks, we will be back. Stephen Bassett and World Disclosure Day right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Stephen Bassett. So, Stephen, July the 8th, we were talking about that July the 8th is being established as something that will happen each year, as the date when something will happen each year related to disclosure. What sort of things, okay, we're a little bit less than a year away from July the 8th, 2012. Okay, July the 8th, 2012, when it rolls around, aside from people just kind of having it in their mind that, oh yeah, this is World Disclosure Day, is there anything else that's going to happen?
Oh yeah.
What
the way to think about this is like Earth Day.
Okay.
Pretty much everyone understands that concept. It's been around a long time, and it's a focus for people's environmental interest in this planet and how we deal with it. And so it's become a day when events are taking place, a lot of media is done. It's become a fairly big deal. Well, this is the same concept, but there's an extra hook here, and this is the key. The first World Disclosure Day, at least as Paradigm Research Group launched it, was last July the 8th. Didn't get a lot of notice, obviously. It's just launched 6 days prior. But nevertheless, it's underway. The next one could be next July the 8th, 2012, or not. Why? Because as the website makes quite clear, when disclosure does happen, the day that the First Nation, the head of state, the First Nation comes forward and finally acknowledges to the citizens of that nation that there is, in fact, an ET presence. And they have not obviously told us that before, but they can as of that day. World Disclosure Day immediately becomes that day. So whenever that is, say it's next January the 20th, then that becomes World Disclosure Day.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because I believe that for everyone living after disclosure takes place that day, for them, the world is going to be divided in two. Everything that happened prior to disclosure and everything that happens afterwards. It will be one of the great historical divisions in history. And so at that point, World Disclosure Day is permanent and even more important. And you can imagine that as we go forward, each year after disclosure takes place, that day becomes a massive focus focal point for people to redirect again their thinking, their thoughts. There will be events. There will be a huge amount associated with that. It will be a major day of celebration or introspection, whatever you want to call it, forever. So that's kind of how things are setting up. You can see the method here. Now, if disclosure doesn't take place, then the next disclosure day will be July the 8th, 2012. And PRG's job is to continue to get more media, more attention to this, and build up the number of endorsements. I think that when the number of endorsements starts to reach around 100,000, and they'll all be on the website listed, that the media is going to get very, very interested. And so the quicker we get to 100,000 endorsements, the better. I should point out, Kevin, that of the nearly 4,500 in personal endorsements that have come in, not surprisingly, the number one country represented is the United States. But it might interest your listeners to know that the number two country is the People's Republic of China, mainland China. Now, some people know, maybe they don't, that China has the most number of people on the internet than any country in the world. So if this concept starts to spread throughout China, Lord knows how many endorsements for World Disclosure Day can come in. But I can tell you, those that are coming in with comments show an enormous interest in seeing this happen. In other words, the interest in disclosure in China is growing very rapidly. That is very, very notable. So I think you get the concept here. This is what we're trying to achieve, and so far it's going along just fine.
In your list of endorsements, have you had any politicians sign up yet?
We have four endorsements of note so far.
You have four what?
Endorsements of note. This is that special section on the top page when you go through the globe where we're going to list people of some notoriety. That'll could include politicians. It could include celebrities, movie stars, sports figures, whatever. And right now we have four. We have Paul Hellyer, former Defense Minister of Canada. Edgar Mitchell, of course, the Apollo 14 astronaut. Bruce Zabel, a very well-respected highly accomplished member of film industry and a former chairman of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and Paul Davids, who is a very accomplished writer, producer, director, and of course the executive producer and co-writer of the Roswell movie. again, it's only been about a month, but I believe that you will start to see some more people of note endorsing this, and we'll build from that. So again, think Earth Day, but about disclosure and the focus on the fact that it's time for the people of this planet to know the truth about the galaxy. And the truth is that there are civilizations out there, and some of them are engaging us now.
Have you invited Barack Obama to endorse this yet? No,
yeah.
I'm serious.
Next time I see him on the golf course, I'll definitely extend an invitation.
I'm serious. I think the White House ought to get an invitation to endorse, and John Podesta ought to get an invitation to endorse. Mm-hmm. He's on record as having said publicly that, number one, it's time for the government to tell the people what they know about UFOs. And he said, the people can handle it, and frankly, it's the law.
Sure. Famous event that took place in October of 2002 and again in 2003. I'd love to have John Podesta on that endorsements of note list. And here's one of the great things about the WDD is that anybody can invite anybody. In other words, everybody out there would like to see John Podesta, then contact him at the Center for American Progress, the think tank in Washington, where he's the CEO, and say, look, you need to go to worlddisclosureday.org and endorse World Disclosure Day. It's right up your alley. And this is true for anybody. Spread the word. Spread the invites. This is grassroots activism, raw. It's fundamental. This endorsement list, it's a simple concept. There's not a lot here. You're basically endorsing a day to focus on this issue of bringing this information out. It's not that difficult, I think, for people to say, "Hey, I'm good with that." And so, we're not limited here. I mean, we could have a million, 2, 5, 10 million. There's no limit to the number of endorsements that this day could have on this website. I can load, believe it or not, it's a semi-automatic process. I could load 50,000 endorsements a day if I had to. So what we've created is a vehicle to provide a public expression for the desire to get this information out, and also a vehicle for people of note to comfortably kind of connect to the issue. For a lot of people, it's a little awkward. They're worried. They're afraid it creates a problem for them. But I think this is a very safe, very straightforward way that they can say, hey, I think we need to know the truth about this. I want to see disclosure take place. So that's what it's about, Kevin. And every time I do a show like yours, I talk about it, and I know that in time, we're going to see a much bigger number here. And as that number gets larger, I can then use that to engage the media, attract more attention. And then certainly as we approach July 8th of 2012, assuming we haven't had formal disclosure, we'll start to promote the idea of events, meetings, and whatever to take place on that day. Again, to help build public awareness of the fact that the truth of the ET reality is just around the corner if we can focus enough public attention on it.
Well, you have to be careful because the mass media, as well as a few shoot-from-the-lip politicians, there was this grassroots movement called the Tea Party, and some of the mass media and shoot from the lip politicians started calling them terrorists and mobs and all kinds of things like that. So as your numbers grow, of course, the pressure grows on the politicians because in any interest group that's of any size is automatically some pressure on politicians, and they may decide that you guys are terrorists. Let me ask you something. Do you have any waterproof matches?
Kevin, you brought up a good point. one of the key strategies that Paradigm Research Group has followed is to maintain as much focus as possible within this movement. This is not a Tea Party. This is an activist movement with a very clear, specific goal. It's not trying to address scores of social political issues. It's not partisan. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's not religious. It is a fundamental activist movement with a very clear goal. Government ends its policy of withholding formal acknowledgement of the truth about this ET presence. And so in that regard, it's really not easy, and I don't really see that much where you've got politicians or media in general hitting it with the kind of ridicule that you see in these more complex arenas like presidential politics and what have you. It's getting harder and harder for them to pick on us, is another way of saying this, because we're winning and because the public awareness is growing every year. So, but the key is the focus of the movement. It's to get disclosure. After that, you know, there will be a lot of things happening. There will be a lot of movements. There will be a lot of organizations. It's going to be pretty wild and crazy, but it will happen, right? But disclosure is the principal barrier between us and getting to the bottom of things, and making progress as a civilization. It's kind of like a choke point that we've reached, and history has had more than a few of these over the last 10,000 years. This is a big one. And so, again, this focus is what keeps this thing from getting out of control.
Yeah, but you know,
one is about as focused as it gets. So I'm pretty comfortable that we're going to get the immediate coverage, and it's going to be generally favorable, particularly as the endorsements of note section grows.
Well, anything that puts pressure on politicians, they tend to react childishly at first, and then they embrace it when there's nothing else they can do. This is the biggest secret the U.S. government has ever kept. It may be the most important. It may not be the most important. We don't know, because we don't know the contents of the secret. But it's a gigantic secret. And once they start feeling the pressure of the numbers, there's absolutely no telling what their reaction could be. And I suspect it'll be just as stupid and foolish as their reaction has been on most other things. All right, we have to step away for a break. That was my statement, not Steve Bassett's. And we'll be back right after this. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Stephen Bassett. I don't want to get too embroiled in that discussion we were in, Stephen, because really it's not the focus of PRG. It's not the focus of the Kevin Smith Show. It's just that these people don't tend to act very rationally on the front end of new issues. And you know, I hope the best for them this time, and I hope they will prove me wrong and shove that statement down my throat by signing up and endorsing the World Disclosure Day. That would be a good thing, huh?
Kevin, to respond, look, there's no question that American politics right now is going through an extraordinarily adolescent phase. Fortunately, a lot of people know this. It's not a surprise. And we're not happy about it. And it's not like we can suddenly just change it overnight. But you know, countries that plan on being around a long time are going to go through cycles, good, bad, and what have you. And politics has cycles as well. right now we have cycled down and we're going through a very bad time. That could be a serious problem without question, because there are events that could overtake the United States. And given where our politics is right now, I don't think we can deal with them. And so it could hugely affect the future of the United States, and that will impact the rest of the world. But that's the way things are right now. I think I could maybe go a little further and say this, that disclosure when it happens, particularly for the U.S. and to some degree other countries, is going to be a really sharp slap across the face of a lot of people, and the implications of that is wake up, grow up, get with it. It's a big, complicated world out there, and we've got 7 billion people on the planet, and we really can't afford the luxury of a significant portion of the political structure turning into a bunch of squabbling 12-year-olds. So I think that could be a very positive thing, but it, without question, it's going to galvanize the world's people. And because, interestingly enough, the people of this planet now have more power because of the internet and other high-tech tools to influence governance and influence their lives than ever before, the combination of that technology and disclosure could be transcending, which is why ultimately, Kevin, I'm optimistic about disclosure and the aftermath. Though it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of work involved, and the people are going to have to get involved, but I think they will. I think their motivation to get involved will be unprecedented. So again, I'm optimistic, but certainly looking at it from this end right now, it's hard to imagine some of the politicians that we see every day, or the ones that aspire to be leaders, being able to handle this in a mature way. But ultimately, they will have to deal with it, because disclosure, as I've said many times, is inevitable.
Let's sort of move to another topic of World Disclosure Day, but it is related to what we've just been talking about. Earlier, I had asked something about, well, what sort of events would you envision adorning World Disclosure Day? This might, in fact, be a day when it would be easy to highlight, let's everyone write to our congressman, let's everyone call our senators, you know, that sort of thing. You know, there could be all kinds of, you know, small local campaigns to sort of get out the vote. But it's not a vote, but you understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
That would be one of the types of events that could happen on World Disclosure Day, would it not?
There's no limit to what could be accompanying something like this. Earth Day has almost infinite number of things that happen around that day, around the planet. Now, this is a concept that's been in play now for many, many years. But again, to be honest with you, the way I see things unfolding, Disclosure Day is going to be shifted to the real deal pretty soon. I know that we still have a problem in that there's some very significant things that could happen in the world right now which could be extremely destructive and could take us into darkness for a very long time. And my biggest concern as an advocate is getting disclosure done as soon as possible, which is why we need funding so badly to get this done as soon as possible, so that if any of these very unpleasant events do take place, they will take place in the post-disclosure world, where I think we're going to be able to address them and deal with them in a manner that will be far less destructive to our greater concerns. And so there's a timing issue here. So that said, though, again, it's not going to be that much longer, and we're going to be shifting Disclosure Day from the 8th of July to the actual day of disclosure, unless the U.S. government, for instance, decides they want to do it on the next disclosure day, which I think would be kind of cool, but it's not going to work that way. And then obviously it will not be difficult to focus world attention on what are we going to do on disclosure day. It'll be the most important day in the history of the human race. So again, you see the dynamic here. Really what World Disclosure Day is about is providing in the near term a way for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people to put their name, first, last, city, state, city, country name on a website that says, we want the truth about this and we want it from our government. And then we're going to use that endorsement list as it gets greater and greater in various ways to pressure primarily the political media, because the politicians right now are sort of out of the game, but the political media to finally decide that they want those Pulitzer Prizes that are waiting for them and to get going. So it's an advocacy tool. Ultimately, though, World Disclosure Day becomes the real disclosure day, and from that point forward, well, we're in a totally different world, and there'll be a whole new sets of strategies and so forth. It'll be very difficult to keep up in trying to see how things are going to shape up down the line. So that's kind of where I'm going with this.
Okay, let's talk about post-disclosure world just a little bit. We've got a couple of minutes here before we go to break, mm-hmm. and then we can, when we come back, we can continue talking about it. But how is that really going to be all that different? Let's say disclosure happens at 6 a.m. Eastern time in the morning. Choose a country. It doesn't matter. Some country does it. How does that change the world?
Well, first of all, it's most likely to be the U.S., and it's most likely to be on a Friday evening, probably after 7:30, probably 8:30 Eastern time. But I've said a number of times, and I'll say it again, in some ways, nothing will change. And in other ways, everything changes. Something of this magnitude is not easy to parse out, and that's just a fact. So I can appreciate that it's so large that when you look at it, it's almost impossible to see what's going to happen. It's like kind of standing at the base of a mountain, virtually with your nose up against the rock face, and trying to figure out the mountain. I mean, it's just that large. You have to really step back a good ways before you can see this. That's how big disclosure is. But certainly, if it happens on a Friday evening, the weekend is going to be pretty intense, and you're going to have a couple of billion people pretty much glued to their television sets all weekend. But on Monday morning, the vast majority of them are going to go back to work. The kids are going to go to school. Unless the government declares a couple of day holiday, just let people kind of chill out.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We will return, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for the first hour, but we're glad you're here now, and we have the privilege of having Stephen Bassett with us this evening. He is the director of the Paradigm Research Group and is an activist for the purpose of disclosure. About UFOs and about extraterrestrial presence here on this planet. Stephen, when we went away for break, we were talking about, so how does the world change? Now, the reason I asked that, you talked about, and actually we talked about this a little bit the last time you were here, but you talked about a little bit that some of the very negative things that could be coming around the corner that could happen. We're talking, at least my understanding of that is we're talking about world events that could play out in a rather negative way. And you said it's much better for that to happen in a post-disclosure world. And I guess my question then is why?
This is the heart of the advocacy mission. And it's not easy to get. Some people really struggle with this. For instance, if I was an advocate for protecting the whales, it's not hard for people to get that. Whales are advanced creatures, very intelligent. There are not a lot of them left. We need to protect them. Great, no problem. This issue, the ET issue and disclosure, not so simple. There are really two threads here. Let me address the first one, which started before the break, and then I'll jump to the second thread, which is your second question. Mm-hmm. Again, disclosure happens on Friday. Saturday morning, everybody has the same problems they had the day before. And Monday, they go to work and the kids go to school. But in the period following disclosure, and let's take 10 years. If you look back 10 years from today, go back to September of 2001, the last 10 years, this is the modern world, and we know that change is fairly rapid, and the world is changing all the time. And there has been a significant amount of change since 2001. I don't think a particularly profound amount, but significant. And, of course, a great deal of it centered around a very significant event in September of 2001, which brought a lot of change. Some feel not necessarily good change. The 10 years following disclosure, we will see changes in the world many magnitudes beyond what we've seen in the last 10 years. In other words, we're going to see the most extraordinary decade of change probably the human race has ever witnessed. But again, it'll unfold over 10 years. It's not all going to happen on Monday morning. And as it unfolds, as the information comes out, some people will take it in stride, some people will struggle with it. Some institutions will benefit, some will not. And there will be, an endless list of things that are going to reshape, reform, reconfigure, including the worldviews of billions of people. That is what's going to happen. Now, that's a big deal. And since disclosure is inevitable, that change is pretty much inevitable. And we could spend hours and hours and hours going through all of that and picking out various aspects. But that's the fundamental thread. Now, the second thread, and this is the advocacy mission statement, is that disclosure or no disclosure, we are right now, at 2011, the product of 10,000 years of recorded history and the last 100 years of policies on the part of roughly 200 governments, give or take. And those policies have been profoundly flawed. And there's been a lot of bad governance, some good, but a lot of bad governance. And as a result, right now at year 2011, we are facing major problems as a species. And these problems are going to result in very bad things. And by and large, they're not avoidable. Certainly, we're going to try, there'll be effort to try to avoid a lot of this, but a lot of it's pretty much already going to happen. I mean, there's so much momentum and so much is already in the pipeline here that this idea that even disclosure, when it happens, is going to make everything fine. No, it's not. Disclosure is not going to be a panacea. It's not going to be a solution to all problems. We're still going to be facing huge problems in this world. But it will change the arena in which we are operating. Now, but the real point is this. There is the potential for a number of things along the lines of 9-1-1. But worse. In other words, think 9-1-1. It doesn't matter who did it and why. Just think 9-1-1 2001. think about what happened. Think about what it triggered. Now imagine something 10, 50, 100 times worse. Unfortunately, the stage has been set for events of that magnitude. And the question then before us now, at least in from where I stand, is if any of these do take place, does it matter whether they take place in the pre- or the post-disclosure world? And it turns out, in my view, it makes a huge amount of difference. So, what we're talking about is this. We need to cross the river. We need to get on the other side of the River Jordan. We need to get to another place, because if we can get there, when some of the products, the blowback from 100 years of bad politics, do finally raise their ugly head, we will be in a different place, and we may be able to handle it better. We may respond differently. We may take a different course. And as a result, we may avoid some of the worst consequences of these acts. An analogy I like to use, it's a crude analogy, but it gets the point across. And at the turn of the last century, a couple of Czechs got together, disaffected, and they arranged to or tried to assassinate the Archduke Ferdinand and his wife, and they succeeded. They killed him. Now, with all due respect to the Archduke and his wife, I'm sure they were very nice people, but the fact that they were killed, the world was probably going to get along okay without them. Things would have moved forward, and we would have just been without the Duke and his wife. Unfortunately, because of the circumstances at the time, that the assassination of that couple helped lead to World War I. It triggered one of the worst wars of all time, which, as we know, set the stage for World War II, which was the worst war of all time, which then set the stage for the Cold War, which became, well, we know what happened there. And so another way to look at that, it wasn't the assassination that was so destructive, it was the response to it. Now, there are some things heading our way, almost certainly in the not-too-distant future, that are going to be pretty unpleasant. And I would like to say categorically right now that as unpleasant as these events might be, the response to them could be 1,000 times more unpleasant. And that is where the disclosure event comes in. I believe that if disclosure happens tomorrow, first and foremost, it's possible that that event may help prevent much of this unpleasantness from happening at all, which would be nice. But just as important, when some of these things do happen, if we have made it across the river, if we have gotten into the post-disclosure world, I believe we have a much better chance of responding to this in a way that takes us forward and not backward into the dark ages. That is the essence of this advocacy. And I think you can see, Kevin, why someone that was considering funding it or just trying to get their arms or their mind around it might struggle with that. It's kind of tough, but it is, I believe, an accurate representation of what's happening.
Well, one of the things I can envision in a post-disclosure world would be that, for one thing, a whole great big section of the collective consciousness, the collective mind, would be awake enough so that the same old spin and BS is not going to work on that population as works now.
I agree.
Right now, it's the most astounding thing to me. You meet people who are well educated and seem to be feet on the ground, and they allow the cow and the Cadillac thing to happen to them. They see a cow, but they allow the government to convince them it was a Cadillac. And no matter, you know, what you do to show them it was a cow, the government said it was a Cadillac. I don't even believe in cows. And we're seeing that sort of thing. I'm, of course, using that as analogous to what happens with UFOs. People see them. They know they saw them. Their camera takes a picture of it or videotapes it, so it's there. It's reflecting light. And then they allow some official statement to poo-poo the whole idea. And, oh, well, it really wasn't what I thought it was. My eyes lied to me. And, you know, this right now, the spin doctors and the cover story writers can pretty much count on the fact that they can put out any story and a large segment of the population will buy it and join them in the ridicule. But after disclosure, that's gone. And there's spillover. You know, once I have been convinced that you've been lying to me, I know you don't like that word, but once I've been convinced that what you've been telling me is not true, you've misled me now for my whole life, the next thing you tell me might not be about UFOs. It might be about toothpaste. And I'm not going to be inclined to put up with BS about toothpaste.
This is... well, you're talking about the truth embargo.
Yeah.
And I understand. The people already have figured out... I think it's true in the United States, it's true in China, it's true in Russia, it's true in Europe, that the general public is now quite aware of the concept of propaganda. They understand why it's used, they understand how it works, and they understand advertising, which is basically commercial propaganda, and how it works, and so forth. So there's no mystery here.
Right.
And the people are probably more aware than they ever have been in recorded history that governments use propaganda and also lying to manipulate them. And of late, that has increased to rather unpleasant proportions. And when people lie to you, you stop trusting them. And so what we have is a process of lying and distrust that's been pretty much categorized certainly the last 45 years. So the idea that people don't trust what the government's telling them, that's already well established. What changes with disclosure, Kevin, is not that, oh, the government finally tells the truth, now you're going to tell me some more. It's that the truth that they're going to learn is so profound, right, that it will focus their attention in one direction. And as anybody in business knows, if you can get enough eyeballs looking in the same direction and you've got a message, boy, that's a pretty big deal. And the impact of disclosure will be that generally roughly 7 billion pairs of eyeballs are going to be pretty much looking in the same direction for a good while. And that is a profound thing. And since they are looking in the same direction, and that direction is at the state, basically they're looking at the state and saying, what are you going to tell us next? What more information do you have? And we're not going to take no for an answer. And so with that much focus, that much intensity, and of course the media, right after disclosure, will jump on our side. I mean, the media is going to want to be on the winning side. It will not hesitate. We'll have them on our side, which will be a big help. The government now is in a position where they have no choice but to start bringing information out. And this process of bringing information out on this issue is cathartic, and I believe it will spread. And so what you will have is kind of an era of openness and possibly an era of institutional reform unprecedented in history. So it's not the simple act of telling the truth. It is the magnitude of the truth that will be told. Now, some people are concerned that the government may try to manipulate this truth, distort it for nefarious reasons. The classic example is concoct a false story about an ET threat in order to justify, pick a, you know, a reason.
That appears to be happening.
It's something we need to be careful of.
It appears to be happening.
We are, and I think the American public and the people in the world in general are. and that if they try to do this, it's going to blow up in their face like nothing has ever before. Let me give you a perfect example. Recently, bless his heart, very well-known economist Paul Krugman, while being interviewed on a U.S. news program, decided that he wanted to make a point. And the point was, well, in general, wars have been highly stimulative of economies. And in fact, World War II is what made the United States an economic power. And so if we were to have, for instance, a war with extraterrestrials, that would have a profound impact on the global economy and could bring us back out of recession. I don't think that Paul Krugman knows a flying saucer from a Boston cream pie, and I don't think that he was being told to put something like that out. But I can assure you that a lot of people around the world instantly recognize that as a red flag. Meaning when an economist of that note raises the idea that, boy, if we could get a war with ETs going, we could really get the economy going. So the sensitivity to this is very high. And then, oddly enough, just a week after that, a report emerged, partially funded by a NASA group, but out of Pennsylvania State University, where they were studying, quote, the concept of extraterrestrial contact and what ETs might do with us. All of it was negative, all of it was destructive, and the real capper was that ETs might destroy the human race because we're polluting the Earth and it might spread to the rest of the galaxy. This is one of the dumbest things I think I've ever read in my life, and they should be embarrassed, but they're basically victims of the truth embargo. And again, that was immediately picked up on. And so I just want to send a message to the U.S. government, the Canadian government, the U.K. government, Chinese government, whatever. Unless you plan on shutting down the Internet completely, if you try to pull some sort of a false flag, nonsense, ET invasion scenario that's not true, it is going to be shredded, and you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. It's not going to work, and frankly, I don't think it's going to happen, but that doesn't mean we need to let our guard down, because you never know.
I've watched, and you have too, and everyone listening to this show all around the world has watched previously as major news media started ramping things up to get public support behind our president. Mm-hmm. In his I want to make this clear. I'm not speaking specifically about Barack Obama. I'm speaking about whoever happens to be president. This has been going on my whole life. And what they do is the news media starts ramping up stories to get public opinion behind the president's intentions to do war. And I can verify, I can document without any question whatsoever that in at least one of those it was wag the dog. The entire package was a lie. But the American public didn't know that. The American public believed what they were being told and gladly supported their president as he authorized dropping bombs and basically invasion and occupation and ultimately theft of a great portion of a country in violation of the resolution that this country signed on to in the UN. Now, I've been watching them do that same thing with this ET is a bad idea. ET is not going to be good for us. And there are a lot of programs coming out like that. And it looks to me like they are ramping up, trying to get us ready for it. I want to open up the phone lines and allow our audience to participate in the show here tonight. And folks, the way you do that is you pick up your telephone and you dial this number. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889, and you will be able to speak with Stephen Bassett. Make a comment, ask a question. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can participate by calling us or by using the flash message option on my website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Hi, Steve. How have you been?
How you doing, Ryan? I know who Ryan is. He's an activist.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, what about trying to lobby Dennis Kucinich? What do you think about that? He's supposed to be moving up here to my area. And, he was at a I don't do drugs, but no, I know we're not supposed to get into politics. This is not political, but he was up at a rally up here for marijuana activists called HempFest. You know, I don't go to.
Okay, let's get on to the World Disclosure Day stuff.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask Steve about what plans he has for next year for World Disclosure Day. Maybe I'll just do that. Well, I'll free up the line. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thanks.
Well, the question he wanted to know is, should we lobby Dennis Kucinich? Look, a lot of people have lobbied Dennis Kucinich. He's been briefed. He's been informed. He had his own sighting in 82. Dennis could have made some history on this issue. Ultimately, he couldn't do it. I don't want to be too critical about that. I mean, it was his life, his career, and who am I to say, gee, here's what you should have done? So someone else is going to be the one that's going to get out in front of this in terms of American politicians, though ultimately the media, I think, will be the one that breaks it out. In other words, the politician's going to have to be chased down the street and hogtied and brought back to the Congress and forced to face this.
Oh, they may be chased down the street for sure. That may be coming.
but Dennis could step up any time. Believe me, he knows more than enough to step in front of a camera tomorrow and shake things up pretty good. But to get back to the larger point, let's be clear.
Okay, let me say to the caller, just hang on.
Disclosure has grown exponentially in the last 10 years. The awareness of the UFO phenomenon is almost universal. Books are being written about disclosure. One of the most important is just came out. It's by Richard Dolan and Bryce Zabel called AD After Disclosure. I hope to have my disclosure book out by the end of the year, first of next year. There will be others.
Okay, we're going to have to step away for a break. Let me ask the caller, are you willing to hang on through the break, caller?
Sure, Kevin, I will.
All right, hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back more with Stephen Bassett and your calls right after this, so don't go away.
America, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Stephen Bassett. Stephen, go ahead and complete your thought, and caller, just hang on. We'll get to you here in just a second. Well, Stephen, it would help if I were to turn your volume on. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I pretty much completed my thought. Let's take a question.
All right, let's go to the caller. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi, Stephen. I wanted to ask a question what can we, as the American paying, tax-paying public, do towards having disclosure come about?
Oh, boy. The obvious things, assuming one is comfortable with being totally in the open on this, is to write your representatives in Congress, your senators as well. The World Disclosure Day, endorse it, right? You can also contact your media and say, we want more serious engagement of this issue. You're not digging deep enough. You're not asking the right questions, and so forth. You can talk to other people. You can spread the word around. These are the kinds of things that generally people do. But in this particular issue, it can be awkward because in a lot of cases, spreading the word around, talking it up, can actually create problems for you, even now, though not nearly as bad as it used to be. The one thing that the public really can do and has not done because of the embargo is fund it. In other words, as an activist movement, this is probably the least funded major activist movement in all of history. I don't think anything else comes close. And one of the chief successes of the truth embargo, which is highly sophisticated program that the government has pursued, I mean, this is not some casual thing, was to absolutely minimize the ability of the activist and the researchers to have any funding. Recently, I think MUFON got a little funding from Robert Bigelow, and it was a huge deal. It virtually turned MUFON upside down. I think the total amount of money was about $100,000. You'd think they'd gotten $20 million. The public has not been able to step out of the truth embargo and say, this issue is hugely important. It's got to be resolved, and the people and the organizations that are trying to do that need to be funded. And so they just haven't done it. And so this has all been out of everybody's back pocket, and that is hugely limited, the ability to get this done. But nevertheless, we've still made progress. This is the best answer that I can give. Obviously, a person can engage this issue to any depth they want. They can become a researcher. They can become an activist. They can set up websites and what have you. All of that, fine. But ultimately, the one thing that would guarantee a quick resolution of this issue would be some major funding coming in. And I'll be honest with you, the amount of money needed to probably wrap up this truth embargo is well within the range of just about any typically good second baseman in a major league ball or a linebacker in the NFL. It wouldn't take much more than that. But as at this point, no one has stepped forward and said, look, here's the kind of money needed. Go get them. That's the best answer I can give right now.
Are you still there, Debbie?
Yes, I am, Kevin. Stephen, thank you very much for your answer. I will follow up with this. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. It will transport you magically to the studio and magically to the UK so that you can speak with Stephen Bassett. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Francois from Montreal.
Yes, Francois.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Mr. Bassett. Hello. I'd like to make a little comment, real short, with a bad joke that's hard to understand.
Okay.
Do you know the difference in between dictature and democracy? I guess not. Huh?
The difference, I'm sorry, the difference between what?
The dictator said, shut up, and the politician said, keep talking.
Okay.
Meaning like, you can talk forever, and I don't think there's going to be an important disclosure, like not like little things like police reports, but the end of the world is going to come first.
Well, Francois? The end of the world is scheduled for next December 21st, so that pretty much would wrap things up. And if that happens, well, let's. You know, I hope to be having a good time.
Well, Stephen, let me tell you how you can have a good time on December the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a December 21st, 2012 party, all right? I'm going to do this. My plans are back on for Bangkok. And so I invite you to be present at the party in Bangkok. December the 21st, 2012 will, of course, happen on that side of the world first.
True.
So if we make it, there's a good chance folks back here in the United States are going to make it. So we'll see December the 21st, 2012 come and go at a party. And what I say, I got a little bit of criticism, not much. People said I was too flippant about this. I'm not being flippant about it at all. The deal is, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world, but if I'm wrong, we'll go out having a good time. And, you know, we'll go out enjoying the company of other people of like mind and having a little get-together, a little party there in Bangkok. So I invite you to be a part of the party. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. I have a flash message here from Danielle in Spain, or maybe it's Daniela. And this is to you, Stephen. Do you have any plans to create organizations in other countries? It seems there need to be some structure.
Well, yes. The Paradigm Research Group several years ago created the Exopolitics World Network, which is at exopoliticsworld.net. One portal site for each country. We're up to, I think, 26 countries. Volunteer only. Each site has a volunteer webmaster. They run it. They maintain it. And they do a pretty damn good job. So we've got the Exopolitics World Network, which is growing, and there's a couple more countries coming on soon. The Exopolitics Cities Initiative, which is connected to the EWN, is where we'll list any group that wants to, any exopolitics group that wants to meet on a regular basis anywhere in the world. They can send me their city, nation, and email address, and we'll list it on the Cities Initiative page. We've got about 30 up there now. No limit there. It could have thousands. So informal. Again, no boards of directors, no bylaws, just if you got a group, send us your email address and we'll list you by name and country. Of course, World Disclosure Day is a very straightforward way of organizing people and their interests. In the post-disclosure world, there will be a lot of organizations being created. PRG hopes to be involved there. We'll see. The principal reason that you don't see more, almost no storefront operations, there's just no funding for that. Increasingly, everything is in cyberspace. There's plenty of UFO groups, and there's exopolitics organizations like the Exopolitics Institute. So again, there is structure developing, but is it the appropriate amount of structure for something of this magnitude? Absolutely not. And what's the principal reason for that? Two, the embargo and the lack of funding. But, again, ultimately that will be overcome, and we will see more structure, more organizations, and we will see actual storefront operations, but probably not until the post-disclosure world.
Stephen, what would the funding go for? Let's say that we've got 10 NFL linebackers who are going to take 10% of their pay this year and put it into PRG. What would that be going for? I'm not opposed to it. I'm just ignorant of what would that do to move things along quickly toward disclosure.
Well, each activist
group has their own agenda. And I'm sure that if you ask each one, they would give you a different answer. I've been at this about 16 years now, and I have some very strong views about where the, I guess you could say, openings are in the line, right? To use a football metaphor, cracks in the dam, whatever.
Okay.
I believe the political media is the fastest way to triggering disclosure, and a certain critical mass needs to be reached. The moment we hit that critical mass, the media basically will explode, and disclosure, I mean, the truth embargo will be over very quickly, maybe even 30 days. One of the key areas of that critical mass is the witness development. Stephen Greer's done a lot there, but so has Leslie Kahn and James Fox. Speaking of which, on November the 12th, 2007, Leslie Kahn and James Fox brought some strong witnesses to the National Press Club. They presented. There was a press conference. There was coverage. There was some follow-up. She then wrote a book about it called UFOs, Generals, Public Officials, so forth, Go on Record, that did very well in hardback. I think it's in paperback now. However, a documentary was also created by a group built around the book and that press conference, these witnesses. And that is going to air tomorrow night. It's a two-hour documentary called Secret Access on History Channel. And this this witness emergence is extremely important. So one of the things that PRG would do, there's a couple of projects that immediately I could launch, one of which is significant. Probably $300,000. There is one project in particular that I think would get critical mass and trigger disclosure. That's how close we are, and that's the amount. Think about that. That amount of money is not even significant, really, when you think in terms of major activist movements. But there are two fundamental areas of that are going to develop very rapidly in the next few months. Certainly through the end of the year. One is witness development, and that's where PRG could make a huge impact, but if it had the kind of funding that it needs, and I'm talking $300,000 plus, which is why I was saying that, like, that's in the range of any just about any member of the NFL or the Major League Baseball. Let's don't even get into movie stars. And this witness development is critical. If we reach a critical mass of witness testimony focused in the right way, I think the media is switched on and it's over. There's another area that's going to develop very rapidly that's very unpredictable, but it's how it'll go, but I know it's going to develop, and that is the area of contact. What you're going to start seeing is contactees coming forward who are well-known. Sports stars, music stars.
Okay, we're going to pick up there with this second idea to get us to critical mass when we come back from this break. So, folks, don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Stephen Bassett. He is the director of Paradigm Research Group, and we are referring to it from time to time as PRG. When we went away for break, you were telling us about the second project you could do that would help bring sort of critical mass to the whole disclosure project. So let's just pick up where we were, and the mic is yours.
Yeah, this was inevitable, and I think it's just about to take off. And what I'm referring to is contactee emergence. You're going to start seeing some famous people coming forward and admitting, either in talk shows, in interviews and talk shows, or in books that they're writing, that
they are, in fact, in contact with ETs and have been their whole life. Tens upon tens of thousands of people not famous have reported these contacts in detail to the researchers around the world. And I mean, actually, it's more hundreds of thousands. Some of them may have been famous, but it was confidential. In any event, you're going to start seeing people coming public. I mean, there's been a limited amount of that. The most recent is Sammy Hagar, who in his book he wrote that he's pretty sure he's been in contact for some time. Hagar is a pretty big star in his time, though he's in his 60s now. But it's inevitable, and this is going to be a big deal, and it's going to put huge pressure on the truth embargo. So if somebody says to me, Steve, what do you do with, say, $500,000? And I would say two-thirds of that would immediately go for witness development, and there's several major projects could happen very quickly, and a third of it would go to contactee development. Now, what I mean by that is I don't mean pressuring contactees or people to come forward, but rather raising the awareness of the fact that there's a very substantial number of people in pretty well-known positions that are contactees. The numbers are hard to deny. If you look at the percentages, it's just hard to get away from it, and at any time they could start coming forward. In other words, sort of goose the process along a little bit with the understanding that nobody should come forward unless this is what they want to do, that they feel they can do this, it's the right thing. This is a decision that everybody makes on their own. They don't need activists putting pressure on them to do it, but that doesn't mean that the concept of coming forward can't be further promoted, can't be further put out there for people to consider. And certainly the ability to go and interact with some of these people by some of the people in the field, which also costs money, could be enhanced. So these are two areas right now that if I'm someone committed to the truth embargo, I would be really, really concerned about, because I honestly don't think there's a damn thing they can do about it. I mean, the witnesses have been coming forward in droves since 2000, and they can't stop it, and they're not really trying to stop it. And when the contactees start coming out, there's nothing to do about that either. Again, this process is inevitable, and disclosure is inevitable. But again, as I've pointed out before, if we don't get it done soon, there are a number of things that could happen that could derail disclosure for years, if not decades. And during those years and decades, very, very unpleasant things will be happening around the world, and it's going to go badly for us. And this is the equation that we're trying to solve.
Do you are you saying that you sense that the window is closing?
No, it's not that the window is closing, but we are in a somewhat of a race against time. The human race, not that, last century was much different from the century before that and the century before that. It's just that the scope of things, the potential for destruction has only grown. You go back 2,000 years, you screw up, who cares, right? Now you screw up, whole nations could collapse. The point is that in the critical century, which was the 20th century, from 1900 forward, is when the human race really need to get its act together. I mean, fairly advanced thinkers pretty much knew what was going to happen to the population. I think even in 1900 they sort of knew where the Industrial Revolution was going and everything else. And we just didn't make very good decisions, and it was a bad century, and there was a huge amount of bad policies, as well as the population grew from 1.5 billion to now 7 billion people. And so all of that has put us in an extremely difficult spot right now, and a great deal has been set in motion that is can't be stopped by and large. In other words, we have failed to take care of business in a number of areas, and there's going to be consequences.
Stephen,
not even close.
Let me interject this,
right now,
because
we're in this interesting situation where Stephen, we're facing this host of.
Okay, Stephen, we're running out of time. I've got a flash message from Columbia, and I want to get this in so that we can get you to comment on it. This is Peter from Columbia. And he says, Steve, what about the fact the aliens are also maintaining a cloud of secrecy over their activities?
Recognizing it. We're not alone in the galaxy.
Okay, apparently you can't hear me, Stephen. We have a flash message from Columbia, and he wants to know, this is from Peter. He says, Steve, what about the fact the aliens are also maintaining a cloud of secrecy over their activities? And we only have about 3 or 4 minutes here.
It's a very complicated question. There's no question that the extraterrestrials have not taken actions which would have forced disclosure immediately. They have not done something which essentially ends the truth embargo. And I think I know why, but it's only my opinion. It's also the case, however, that their actions are hardly secretive. That they have been seen all over the place. They're hardly discreet. People are remembering contact experiences in droves, and so there's an interesting dynamic going on here. You know, they're putting crop circles in fields that are hard to ignore. So, so what is their agenda? I think their agenda is they want us to disclose first. That's the easy answer to that.
Okay, so you don't see it so much as they are maintaining a cloud of secrecy over their activities as they are just standing back waiting for us to do the disclosure.
Well, they're going about their business. I'm just saying that if you look at their actions, it reflects two things. One, a desire to not force disclosure out in the open immediately, and two, they're not fully discreet about their actions. So they're being seen, and it's driving the process below. It's a complicated picture, but all I can say is that the best explanation I have is that they are actually helping the disclosure process along by not being discreet, but they're not going so far as to force it on us. They're trying to put us in a position where we do it ourselves. Now, where that leads after that, one can only guess. I think it leads to open contact. But again, one could argue that all day long. That's the best answer I have. There's a theory out there that the government wants to disclose, but the ETs have said, if you disclose, we will bring our wrath down upon you. It's a theory. I don't buy that theory. I don't think it's true, but I can't prove it one way or the other.
Okay. Stephen, we're out of time. We're right up against the end of the show. The sun is likely either coming up now or will be soon in your part of the world. And it's time for your morning cup of tea, is it not?
No, I'm going to go to sleep, but I want to let your listeners know that I'm going to be speaking at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles on September 20, October 2, and I'll also be speaking at the Pythagoras Conference in Louisville, Kentucky in the second week of December. These are two big events coming up, and I hope to see some of your listeners there.
Outstanding. All right, if you will, just stay on the line with me here for just a moment, and we'll bring this one in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Bassett, and I think fascinating concepts, and I think well worth each of us thinking about what role we can play in helping move this process of disclosure forward. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.